This is Pastor Ron Franklin at Covenant Community Church, and you're listening to Covenant Living Today. This is something that God absolutely hates, but we as Christians still tolerate. Verse 25 of Ephesians 4. Therefore, putting away lying, let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Putting away lying. The first thing he tells us to put off is lying. Did you realize that Christians lie? Mm-hmm. How many of you have told a lie in the last year? Oh, amen. Unanimity. We lie. Why? Because it's so easy to do. It's so easy to do. When I was studying for this, I ran across a story. I won't claim that it's true. That might be a lie. A pastor was walking along the street, and he saw a group of boys. And they had a little dog on a leash. And he could see that they were kind of talking back and forth about this dog and so forth. So he went up to them and he said, "Boys, what are you doing?" And they said, "Well, we found this dog. And all of us want him, so we're trying to decide which one gets him. So here's what we're doing. Whoever can tell the biggest lie gets to take the dog home." And the pastor looked at them and he said, "Boys, you ought to be ashamed of yourself telling lies like that. When I was your age, I would never do something like that." And the little boy looked at him and said, "Man, that's pretty good. I guess you win the dog." Christians lie. Why do Christians lie? Because we're still dealing with the habits that come out of that old man that we're told we can now put away. Those are ingrained habits in our lives. Let me give you a definition for lying. What a lie is, so that we're sure of what we're talking about. Dictionary definition here. A lie is a false statement or action, especially one made with intent to deceive. Now, I wanted to get that so that we can get one thing out of the way. Many times we make misstatements. I say that I saw Jim last Thursday, and when I get home, I realized it was actually Saturday when I saw him. Well, that was a misstatement, but it wasn't a lie, because I did not have the intent to deceive. So just understand, when we talk about the fact that Christians lie, we're not talking about those accidental misstatements that we make. We're talking about dead on intent to deceive. Amen? Amen? Now, why do we do that? What's happening in our lives that make it so easy for us to still lie even after we've accepted Christ? Let's look at some different types of lies that we as Christians get ourselves into. For example, there is the profitable lie. That's the lie that we tell because we think we can profit from it. You're going someplace with your child, maybe putting him on the train or a plane, and the sign says, "Children 6 and under free." And your child turned 7 yesterday. You remember that lie? Recently? Amen. Amen. What's that? That's a profitable lie. We think that we can profit by telling that little lie, and we think of it, it's a little lie. Amen. I mean, it was only yesterday he would have qualified. And so we don't feel bad about trying to profit from a lie. Look at Proverbs chapter 20, verse 17. Let's just set a standard right now about profitable lies. Look at what God has to say. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 17. "Bread gained by deceit is sweet to a man, but afterward his mouth will be filled with gravel. Catch it? God says when you gain something by your lie, by your deceit, oh, when you get it, that tasted good. I like that. That was pretty good. But the thing will turn to gravel in your mouth. In other words, if you belong to Christ, God is not going to allow you to profit by your lie. He's not going to allow you to feel good about your lie. I remember several times this happened in my life where I've gone to the grocery store and given the clerk my money and they give me too much money in return. And what do some Christians do? They say, praise the Lord. Lord, I needed that money. Thank you. Amen. But you know something I've discovered? I feel so much more at peace when I turn around and say, you gave me too much money. Here it is. Make it right. And after they get up off the floor, they open the cash register and do what they need to do. But you see, I get to go home with a clear conscience. Amen? Amen. And so the Word of God says that when we lie in order to profit, it will not ultimately profit us. Second one, the busted lie. The busted lie. See, that's the lie that you tell in order to avoid the consequences of what you've done. In Genesis chapter 18, starting with verse 13, it tells the story of Sarah when the Lord came down, an angel of the Lord, and was speaking to Abraham about the fact that the Lord was going to give him a son. And Sarah, in fact, let me just read it here. Sarah just couldn't contain herself. This old woman heard that she was going to have a baby, and she burst out laughing. Burst out laughing. And the Lord, verse 13 of Genesis 18. And the Lord said to Abraham, why did Sarah laugh, saying, surely I surely bear a child since I am old. Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the appointed time, I will return to you according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. But Sarah denied it, saying, I did not laugh, for she was afraid. And he said, no, but you did laugh. The busted lie. I did something that I'm ashamed I did, or I'm embarrassed that I did, or that I don't want to get caught at. And so I tell a lie to get out of it. Now, I told you about mine last week. For those of you who weren't here, when I was younger, I had a friend who had a little kitten. And the kitten was lying on the ground asleep, and I stepped on his head, and I killed it. And to make the story short, I was so embarrassed and ashamed of what I did. He didn't see me step on the cat. And so when he asked me what happened to the cat, I said, I didn't do it. He said, do you swear? I said, I swear. He said, are you willing to swear on the Bible? I went upstairs, we got my Bible, put my hand on the Bible, and I stood up and swore I didn't do it. I was busted. How many times when we get in trouble do we try to lie our way out of it? Then there is the well-meaning lie. You know that one. How do you think my dress looks? Oh, yeah, that's nice. That's nice. That looks like a sack of potatoes on her. But what? It's well-meaning. I don't want to hurt her feelings, and I don't want to be embarrassed, so what do? I tell her a lie. Or here's one that'll get you into a lot of trouble. Men, your wife cooks something. She brings it to you. How do you like it? Oh, yeah, that's good. I really like that. You know what that means? For the next 5 years, you're going to be eating that same stuff. Amen? Because you lied in order to, you said, try to protect somebody's feelings. That self-protective lie. There's another kind of lie that we can tell. Catch this. You can tell a truthful lie. Think about that for a moment. You can tell a truthful lie. Everything you say can be the absolute truth, and it can still be a lie. somebody that you don't like and don't want to talk to. They called you on Saturday, left a message on your answering machine, said, please call me back. You heard the message. You didn't want to call them. But as time went on, you kept feeling more and more guilty about it. Along about Thursday, you had to go down to Lancaster for a couple of hours. So you drove down to Lancaster. And then when you got back, you didn't feel like calling them that night. So you waited until Friday, and then you called them. And when you finally got them, here's what you said to them. I'm sorry that I didn't return your call sooner, but I've been out of town. Now, it's the truth, isn't it? You went down to Lancaster for a couple of hours yesterday. You were out of town. So everything you said to them was absolute truth, but what happened? Remember our definition? A lie is an action or a word that is intended to deceive. And so even that by telling the truth, if I tell the truth in such a way that it has the effect of giving the wrong impression, and that's what my intent was, I told a lie. You see, lying doesn't have to do with what you say. It has to do with the intent of your heart. And if your intent is to deceive, it doesn't matter whether the thing that you say is technically correct or not. You're still lying. It's a lie. And Christians still lie. In fact, our definition said that lying is either something you say or an action that causes deceit. You know, there's such a thing as a silent lie. You don't even have to say anything. And here's one I confess. I used to work for a company here, high-tech company. Had this big computer on my desk. You know, and I was supposed to be doing stuff on the computer. That was my job. Doing stuff on the internet and all that kind of stuff. When I would get bored, you know what? I'm a solitaire junkie. I would bring up the solitaire game and play solitaire. I'd be sitting there in my cubicle on the company's computer on the company's time playing solitaire. And then I would hear some footsteps coming down the aisle. Any of you know what Alt-Tab does in Windows? See, Alt-Tab can take you from one program to another in just the flick of a finger. As soon as I would hear the footsteps coming down the aisle, guess what I would do? Alt-Tab, and there's my work right up there on the screen. Now, I didn't say a word, but what was my intent? To deceive. Amen? I was lying by my actions. So Christians lie. Now let's talk about something. What's God's attitude when we lie like that? Even those itty-bitty little lies that we think are not so bad. What's God's attitude? Look at the judgment that God makes. Go over to Revelation chapter 21, verse 8. God is serious about lies. Revelation 21, 8. But the cowardly, unbelieving, abominable, murderers, sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters. That's pretty bad company, isn't it? And all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Or go on a little bit further in Revelation 21. Look at verse 27. But there shall by no means enter it anything that defiles or causes an abomination or a lie, but only those who are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Now, did you catch something there? God says, into his kingdom, into his heaven, is not going to enter anything that calls a lie, but only those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Do you know what that tells us? If you are a believer and your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, there should not be lies in your life. It's a contradiction. God says, my heaven does not have a place for anything that causes a lie. And so if our name is written in the book, most of us got some cleaning to do. Amen? In fact, look at Proverbs chapter 6, verse 16 through 19. Get a sense of the depth of God's feeling about the lies that we so easily tell. These six things the Lord hates. Yes, seven are an abomination to him. A proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that are swift in running to evil, a false witness who speaks lies, and one who sows discord among brethren. God says, I hate it. It's an abomination to me. That little white lie that we tell so easily in order to get out of a situation and we think it's no big deal. God says, I hate it. It makes my skin crawl when I see one of my children engaging in a lie. Why is it so bad? Go over to John chapter 8, verse 44. Why is it that God gets so passionate about this subject of lying? The first reason is that lying is a work of the enemy. John 8, 44. You are of your father, the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. Where do lies come from? They come directly from Satan, from the devil, from the enemy of God. When we lie, who do we line ourselves up with? On God's side? Uh-uh. We have walked across the line and we are now fighting with the enemy. We're doing what he does. He excels in lies. He invented the thing. And when we resort to a lie, you know what we've done? We've said to God, God, I don't think you can handle this situation. Let me walk over to my friend the devil and use his methodology. That's what a lie is doing in our lives. And God says it makes my skin crawl to see one of my children resort to a lie. You know, there's another reason. Go back to Ephesians 4. Look at verse 17. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the Gentiles walk in the futility of their mind. Now, you may remember last time we talked about that word futility in the Greek. And what it means is something is futile when it is unable to produce the desired results. In other words, you're working at it. You're doing the best you can with it, trying to make it work out. But it's futility because it can never produce the results that you wanted and needed to produce. And what God is telling us here is that when we lie, it is futility. It will not produce the results we want it to produce. Go over to Proverbs chapter 21, verse 6. Look at what the word tells us is the result of our attempts to get ahead or to get over or to make it through by telling a lie. Proverbs 21:6, getting treasures by a lying tongue is the fleeting fantasy of those who seek death. Catch it? You think you're going to make it over by telling a lie? God says it's a fantasy. In fact, what you're doing is you're bringing death upon yourself. You think you're climbing up through a lie. You're headed down. And so God hates lies not only because they work for the enemy instead of for him, but because they work against us whom he loves. We're trying to make it through the lies that we tell, and God says, it won't work. It's futility. You're trying to get over, but there's another way. Why don't you turn to me? Why don't you call on my name? Why don't you ask me to do what needs to be done in your life and trust me to do it? What does the word say? You have not why? Because you ask not. You rather tell a lie than trust God to fulfill his word. You see, here's the bottom line on lying. When we lie, when we resort to the lie as part of our lifestyle in order to get over in circumstances, what we are doing is every time we tell that lie, we are destroying our relationship with God. Destroying it. Tearing it down. Proverbs chapter 15, verses 1 and 2. Lord, who may abide in your tabernacle? Who may dwell in your holy hill? He who walks uprightly and works righteousness, and speaks the truth in his heart. who's going to have that fellowship, that walk with the Lord, that intimacy with Him? It's going to be the one who walks uprightly and tells the truth no matter what the situation is, trusting God to bring him through. Psalm 5:6 says this, "You shall destroy those who speak falsehood. The Lord abhors the bloodthirsty and deceitful man." God says it just won't work. I will not fellowship with you on that basis. You cannot pull God into a lifestyle of lie. So we have to make a choice, don't we? Do we want to have fellowship with God, or do we want to continue trying to make it over by lying in order to get through? Look, think about the nature of God for a moment. Numbers 23:19. God is not a man that he should lie, nor a son of man that he should repent. Has he said, and will he not do? Or has he spoken, and will he not make it good? Now, do you see what I'm talking about? The most important characteristic of God is his love. But the most important thing for us to know about him is that he does not lie. Because if God were a liar, how would we know about his love? How could we trust that he loves us? Think about this for a moment. Suppose you found out that in the history of the universe, it has been confirmed that God has lied at least once. How many of us can trust our whole lives, our whole future, our eternal destiny into the hands of a God who has lied even once? You see, we couldn't have a relationship with that kind of God. Amen? So the most important thing that we can know about God is that he does not lie. And therefore, when he tells us that he loves us, we can believe him. When he tells us that he will supply all of our need according to his riches by Christ Jesus, we can believe him. When he tells us that no weapon that's formed against us will prosper, but that every tongue that is raised against us in condemnation, we will condemn. We can believe him. Why? Because we know he does not lie. You see, lies destroy relationships. It destroys our relationship with God, but guess what? It destroys our relationship with one another. Think about it for a moment. When you lie and you get caught lying, what kind of credibility do you have left? You're my brother, you're my sister in Christ, we're loving one another, hallelujah. And then I found out that you lied to me last week. What does that do to our relationship? You see, I can't have the same relationship with you once I found out that you lie. But then you come and say, but look, Brother Ron, I had a really good reason for telling that lie. I don't lie all the time, but I mean, it was just a real situation and I needed to tell that lie. And I say, I understand. But see, the problem is this. There may come a day when you feel like you have a really good reason to lie to me again. How can I trust you? How can I put my hand in your hand? How can I believe you've got my back the way I've got your back as members of the body of Christ when I know that you lie? You see, lying destroys relationships. Once you get caught in a lie, your credibility is shot. And understand this, you will get caught. You will get caught. Go over to Psalm chapter 7, verse 14. Psalm chapter 7, starting with verse 14. Behold, the wicked brings forth iniquity. Yes, he conceives trouble and brings forth falsehood. He made a pit and dug it out, and has fallen into the ditch which he made. His trouble shall return upon his own head, and his violent dealing shall come down on his own crown. Do you see what God is saying? The one who lies trying to get over is digging a pit for himself that he will fall into. God is not going to let you get away with your lies. You will get caught. And once you get caught, what kind of relationship will you have with your brothers and sisters? When I found out that you told the first lie to me, even if that lie was trivial, I didn't take that cookie. I don't know who took it. And I can see the crumbs on your on your mouth. But once I found out you told that first lie to me, now the question comes up, what else will you lie about? What else will you do and come to me and say I didn't do it? What else will you do behind my back and turn and grin in my face and try to keep me deceived about it? You see, lying destroys relationships. What do we need to do if we're going to put off this part of our old nature and put on that new man? Proverbs 13:5 says this, a righteous man hates lying, but a wicked man is loathsome and comes to shame. We've got to hate it. It can no longer be our friend in need, our last resort, the thing that we'll do if we feel like we need to do. No, the word says that if we're going to walk righteously with God, we've got to hate lying. It's got to be as abominable to us as it is to God. So number one, I've got to make a determination in my heart that I will hate the lie and I will not indulge in it. Psalm 119 verse 29 says this, remove from me the way of lying and grant me your law graciously. That's my prayer. Lord, remove from me the way of lying. Oh Lord, when I get ready to tell that next lie, and it's been such a habit, I don't even see myself doing it sometimes, but Lord, when I get ready to just deceive just a little bit, stop me, Lord. Show it to me and remove from me that way of lying. You see, I've got to make a quality decision about lying. Remember what we talked about a quality decision being? It's a decision that's non-negotiable and unchangeable, no matter what the circumstances. Once I say it, I'm committed to it. And I've got to make that kind of decision about telling lies. I've got to be vigilant. Look at myself. Catch myself when I start to exaggerate. Catch myself when I start to embroider the story to make it more interesting. Here's the bottom line. If we want to continue, if we want to develop, if we want to grow in our fellowship with God, we're going to have to deal with lying. Want some different results in your life with regard to your walk with Him? Want to see some different results in your life in regard to the way God is able to fulfill the desires and the needs that you have in life? Need to deal with this lying issue. I'm not going to ask you to confess what kind of lies you've been lying or how often or what circumstances. That's something that you need to deal with the Holy Spirit. But you need to deal with it. I want to be a person who speaks truth and not lies so that Jesus will be honored in me.